At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
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 Whoa! Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and of course, this is the podcast called The Dictionary, where I am reading the dictionary. And it's, wow, it's just a really slow process. Who would have known that reading the dictionary one quarter of a page at a time would have taken so long? I had no clue what I was getting into when I first started this venture in early 2019. Wow, look how far we've come. 506 pages. Let's go do this. Did I say I'm Spencer? I think I did. Let's read the words. All right, this is F238. Number one, the first entry in this episode is the first form of the word fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, noun from before the 12th century. This is one that fulls cloth. Oh, I have a vague memory of talking about the verb for full. Let's see. Here we go. I'm looking back. Yes, shrinking and thickening the wool. Yes. So the one who is probably doing that is the fuller. Call up the fuller. We need our wool fulled, please. Wooled, fulled. Let's full the wool. All right. It's sound effect time. What am I gonna do? Ooh, maybe that one would be fun. how do we do this? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sure, that's fun. The second form of fuller is a noun from circa 1864. This is a blacksmithing hammer for grooving and spreading iron. You gotta groove the iron. You gotta groove the iron, and you gotta spread the iron when you are blacksmithing with this type of hammer, which is a fuller. So is it making the iron fuller? Spreading it? I don't know the grooving part. I mean, literally, maybe you're putting a groove in the iron. But if you're spreading it, maybe you're making it fuller. So that's why the tool is called a fuller. This etymology says it is from the word fuller, which means to form a groove in. I guess I don't remember anything about a groove with the word full. So, yeah, sure. Why not? That's what they say. That's what they say. I gotta just accept what the dictionary says. The dictionary is obviously correct with everything. What was my sound effect? It was something like, bloop, ba, 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 beep, boo. Next we have fullerene. Fullerene. We added an E-N-E to the word fuller. This is a noun from 1987. It is any of a class of closed, hollow, aromatic carbon compounds whose structures are made up of 12 pentagonal and differing numbers of hexagonal faces, especially one having a roughly spherical shape. Okay, I need to maybe get a little bit more information on what this is. We're talking about pentagons and hexagons and spheres. Let's look at the etymology first. This is from R. Buckminster Fuller, that is from the resemblance of the molecules to the geodesic domes designed by Fuller. Ah, okay, cool. Yes, geodesic domes are very cool. They are spherical in shape, spherical-ish, kind of a sphere idea, but, you know, because they're made of planes all around it, it's like half of a sphere-ish thing. And so these fullerenes look kind of like a geodesic dome, so that is a very helpful description for us to understand how this looks, but let's do a little quick little very tiny little search. Ah, yes, here we go. Full arena. I mean, yes, it literally looks like a full geodesic dome, not just half of it, because usually geodesic domes that people are living in are flat on the ground, so they only have room for half, probably. They are a class of allotropes of carbon, molecules composed entirely of carbon atoms arranged in a closed or partially closed mesh of fused rings. These rings can be pentagons or hexagons. Ah, so I think the soccer ball, the football ball, would be the shape of a fullerene, basically, because I think it's made up of patches connected together somehow that are either pentagons or hexagons, five-sided or six-sided. We read further. The most well-known fullerene is the Buckminster fullerene, also known as C60, which resembles a soccer ball. There we go. So a soccer ball is basically a fullerene, although technically a fullerene is made up of carbon atoms, just all mixed, all connected together in all their various ways. What's the point of these? What do they do? Fullerenes, what do you do? I don't know. Sure. All right. I don't know. Bleep, bloop, 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 bleep, bleep, bloop. Next is Fuller's Earth. Fuller's has an apostrophe S. Fuller's Earth. Noun from the 15th century. This is an earthy substance that consists chiefly of clay mineral, but lacks plasticity, and that is used as an adsorbent, a filter medium, and a carrier for catalysts. And I need to point out that that is adsorbent, not absorbent. Usually things that are absorbent with a B are soaking up, you know, paper towel sponges. This one's a little bit different. I don't remember the difference. You can go way back in the A's, listen to me talk about that definition of adsorbent, or you could look it up in any other way you want to. An earthy substance, Fuller's Earth. Why is it Fuller's Earth? Well, this is from the first form of the word fuller, which was one that fulls cloth, because it is from its earlier use as a fulling agent. So maybe they used this Fuller's Earth, this earthy substance of mostly clay minerals, they would use it maybe in fulling the wool? I don't know how. It's a very old school thing to do. If you have any information on this, oh, I would love you for you to email me, send me a voicemail, bring it my way, please and thank you. Never heard of Fuller's Earth. It lacks plasticity, so it's not very malleable, I guess. It's used as an adsorbent, a filter medium, and a carrier for catalysts. Fuller's Earth. Never heard of it. Probably will never hear about it again until I listen to this episode later. Bling, 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 bling. Next is Fuller's Teasel. So Fuller's still has an apostrophe S. Teasel is T-E-A-S-E-L. This is a noun from the 15th century, and the synonym is the 1A definition for the word teasel, and I assume that's how it's pronounced. I don't know, because I don't think I know what this thing is at all. Teasel. I guess I don't know. Next is full-fashioned. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1883. This is employing or produced by a knitting process for shaping to conform to body lines, as in the example, full-fashioned hosiery. Those are the hoses that you put, the hosiery that you're putting on your legs, probably. And so they are, they're using this full-fashioned process of knitting, creating the shape of them, and so they fit to, they conform to the body lines. Instead of something like, ah, you know, one size fits all, we don't care about the body lines, it's just gonna hang on you. We're like, no. Some people want things to fit to their body lines. In this case, maybe it's their legs, their calves, but, you know, we got lines on our body all over the place. So maybe there can be some full-fashioned earmuffs to fit to the lines of your body's ears. Full fashioned. Okay, maybe it's full fashioned because it's fashion. 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 And you are fitting into it fully because it's being snug to your body lines. All right, I'm going to say that is correct. Bling, 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 bling. Full fledged. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1833. Number one, fully developed. The synonyms are total and complete, as in a full-fledged biography. That biography has all of the possible information that you would want to know about that person or that situation, that thing, that event. It's got all of it. It's fully developed. It's full-fledged. A full-fledged biography. Don't know if I would describe a biography that way, but okay. Number two, having attained complete status, as in full-fledged lawyer. Oh, congratulations, buddy. You're a full-fledged lawyer. You now have the complete status of lawyer. You've been going through all the levels in your lawyer video game, and you started down here at level one, and you worked your way all the way up. You got all the lawyer experience points, and you have filled up all of your bars and things, so you now are full-fledged. Number three, this synonym is the number two definition for the word full-blown, which was in the previous episode, which was, fully-fledged, fully mature, height of bloom, all of the necessary features, etc., etc. We have an example for this one, a full-fledged reunion. Oh, everybody's coming in for the full-fledged reunion. We can't leave anybody out. Come one, come all to the full-fledged reunion. Maybe their last name is Full. Then it means double. Next is Full House. Two words, noun from 1887. Oh, how does that theme song go? I can see it. I can see all the visuals to the Full House theme situation in my head, but I can't come up with the music. I think Facts of Life song is coming to mind, but that's not right what I want. Oh, I can like sort of hear it in my head, but oh, yeah, Full House. Classic. I've seen those buildings, the Painted Ladies in San Francisco. I've seen those in person. And, if you're there, you should go see them because, you know, Full House is a classic. Okay, so what is Full House really? It is a poker hand containing three of a kind and a pair. And it says to go see the poker illustration, which will have all of the possible poker hands, not all the various cards that you can have in your hand, all the various ones that are possibly winners. The lowest value one is a pair of anything. But Full House, that's a pretty good one. It's at least in the middle somewhere. We got a full house here. Our house is busting at the seams. It's a full-fledged house. It's reached complete house status. Next is full length. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1760. Number one, showing or adapted to the entire length, especially of the human figure. As in, a full-length mirror. Also, a full-length dress. It is the full length of the body that it's related to, especially with the full-length dress. Full-length mirror, you know, typically they're made to be probably at least 5 or 6 feet tall, because that's sort of the average height of most humans. And so they're like, yeah, we can cover our bases with people who are average height and lower. We can get your full figure in this full-length mirror. If you want to see everything, you want to see how your hair looks all the way down to your shoes, you can see how does this whole get-up work. My get-ups aren't great, so I don't even bother with a full-length mirror. They're just fine. One of these days, maybe I will I'll change my wardrobe, and I will be a little bit fancier and nicer, because why not? Full length. Yep, adapted to the whole body, probably of a human figure. Number two, having a length as great as that which is normal or standard for one of its kind, as in a full-length play. I would also like to add the example, a full-length movie, which we also sometimes call feature length. The feature movie is feature length, it's full length. So it's what? It has the length as great as what is normal or standard for that thing. A full-length play is probably 2 to 3 hours. A full-length movie is, well, these days it's like 3 hours. I mean, typically it's around an hour and a half to 2 hours on average, maybe a little bit lower, maybe a little bit higher. And a lot of movies are getting long. They're like, ugh, that's like double full-length movies. Full-length. This camera is not seeing me full-length. Nope, you just get... You get my bust, basically, chest up. That's it. That's all I want to show you. It would be very strange to go vertical and show you the full length, because there ain't anything interesting down there. My shirts are the most interesting thing, and that's it. All right, next, let's move on to... Now we have full marks, two words. Noun from 1916, this is chiefly British, and it is due credit or commendation. So this is due credit, D-U-E. Is this like the credit or the commendation that you are due? I think of this as in you, what you did in your classes, you got full marks, you did fantastic all across the board, all your classes. You got A's, you got whatever terminology they use in the British areas, and you got full marks. Due credit or commendation. I'm sorry, this definition does not make me understand what this is. It might need a rewrite or something, or I need a new brain. Full moon, two words, noun, from before the 12th century. I know that I mentioned the full moon in the previous episode, but you know what? We're getting the real definition now. Not the fake one from me. We're getting the real one from this book. It is the moon with its whole apparent disk illuminated. Its whole apparent disk. Apparently that's the disk that we see. So let's talk about the moon for a little bit. There are, I think I maybe mentioned this in the previous episode, each month has a name. Each full moon in each month has a name. Which, I mean, why weren't we taught these when we were young? So, I don't think these change at all. So what this is saying, in 2025, in January we had the wolf moon, February was the snow moon, March was the worm moon, April was the pink moon, May was the flower moon, June was the strawberry moon, July was the buck moon, August will be the sturgeon moon, September is the corn moon, October is the harvest moon, November is the beaver moon, December is the cold moon. So, let's see, many cultures have given distinct names to each month's full moon. These are in America. The names were applied to the entire month in which each occurred. The Farmer's Almanac lists several names that are commonly used in the United States. There are some variations in the moon names, but in general, the same ones were used among the Algonquin tribes for New England on west to Lake Superior. European settlers followed their own customs and created some of their own names. Other Native American people had different names. In the book, This Day in North American Indian History, author Paul Constantine lists more than 50 Native peoples and their names for full moons. He also lists them on his website, AmericanIndian.net. So if you want to know the names from 50 different types of Native peoples in America, in the North America, and what they called each of the moons across the year, then you should go to that website. There's also the Chinese moon names. I don't know why they only list six of them. The holiday moon, budding moon, sleepy moon, peony moon, dragon moon, lotus moon. Those are pretty cool. There's so many different options of moon names. So it's like each month looks like it has 3 to 5 different possible moon names, at least in the southern hemisphere. And I think it sounds like in the northern hemisphere, too. So many options for moon names. Let's see. Was there something else I was going to say about moon? The moon? What was it? Oh, it's the moon. I mean, you've probably heard this, but I will tell you again. The moon is tidally locked to the Earth. So basically what that means is that as the moon is going around the Earth, because it goes around the Earth, the same side of it is always facing the Earth. Just because of the way things go, it's connected to our stuff. That's the easiest way to describe that. The same side of the moon is always facing us. And, you know, it's physics and science and stuff. And so that's why we see the same side all the time. No matter where it is, what day, where you are on the planet, you're always seeing the same side. And so there's technically what we call the dark side of the moon. But it's only the dark side of the moon because we never see that side of the moon. But it's not always dark. It's just dark to us, because depending on the position of the sun and the moon, that is going to get lit up, because depending on how they're situated. But we never see it. We don't ever get to see the dark side of the moon. All right. Is that enough full moon talk? I think it probably is. I should go do something. I should go do some drumming on the full moon. Next, we have full-mouthed, one word, adjective from 1577. Number one, having a full complement of teeth, as in, full-mouthed ewes. Ewes is E-W-E-S. Those would be, I think, the female sheep. Do I have that right? The rams and the ewes? So the full-mouthed ewes have all their teeth. Is this a thing, is this a way that we describe ewes? Do the farmers describe their ewes as having all their teeth? Is it common for ewes not to have all of their teeth, a full complement of teeth? Never even thought about that. Number two, uttered loudly. Oh, when you utter something loudly, you're using your full mouth, your full voice, your full vocal cords. You're like, I'm loud, and you're full mouthed. I will not do that now because it will just be too loud. Don't want to do that. Disturb neighbors, possibly. Probably not. I don't think there's anybody around, really. Ah! That was only a part of my full mouth. That was not full mouthed at all. I could go way more full mouthed, but I shan't. All right, now we gotta go. Ba-ba-ba-ba-boo! It's a little full-mouthed. Next we have full Nelson, two words. Noun from 1900. It is a wrestling hold gained from behind an opponent by thrusting the arms under the opponent's arms and clasping the hands behind the opponent's head. It's as compared to half Nelson, just one of the Nelsons. Nelson twins? Nelson from The Simpsons? A half Nelson, I think, is when you put one arm under one of their arms and then you put your arm behind their head. So one of their arms is like, I can't do anything with this arm. But wait, I have this arm. I forgot about this arm. I can do something with this arm. I can punch you in the face or something. A full Nelson clearly is much more effective than a half Nelson, but maybe you don't have the ability. Maybe you physically can't get your arms under both of your arm of the your opponent's arms. So it's not always easy to do the full Nelson. Oh, I have memories of being a child and irritating other children are like, I'm gonna do a half Nelson or a full Nelson on you. And that's like, no, don't do that. That's not fun. I don't enjoy that. Can you please stop? Thank you very much. Goodbye. Please leave me alone. Okay, full Nelson. Yeah, this seems like it would be something kind of hard to get out of, I would imagine. I would not want both of my arms trapped behind my head like that. Let's do, what would it look like? It would be just scrambling. All right, let's move on to ba-ba-di-boop-boop-pow. Fullness. You can spell it with one L or two. It is a noun from the 14th century. It is the quality or state of being full. You got some fullness. And we have a phrase, in the fullness of time. And that means at some point. The synonym is eventually at some point, in the fullness of time. Wow, this phrase seems really old. I don't think I've ever heard of this phrase. If somebody said this phrase to me, I would think they're old. But now I kind of want to do it. I want to say, I got to remember this one. Eventually I will do this thing. In the fullness of time, we will get some coffee. What does that mean, in the fullness of time? When time is full, when there's like enough time has passed? I don't know. That's a good one, though. Bling, 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 bling. Full on. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1970. The synonyms are complete and full-fledged. That's it. Ba-ba-da-ba-doo-boop-boop-boop-wee. Full out. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from the 14th century. The synonyms are complete and total. Very similar to full on. It's full out. The example is a full out effort. You are putting just all the possible effort you can behind that thing. Running that race, you gotta go full out. Why wouldn't you go full out? Maybe you don't start at full out, but then you get going. Then you go full out and you like, hey, I'm catching up to you people. Years ago, we did a marathon and I pretty quickly started having knee problems. And so I did do training, but I was having some knee problems. And so I was alternating between hobbling and barely jogging as much as I could because it hurt. But then when I got to the last, I turned the corner and I was in the last, I don't know, 10th of a mile, quarter of a mile. I could see the finish line way down there. And I was like, I am going full out. I don't care how much it hurts. I see all these people walking and I'm gonna go for it. I'm going full out. And I did. And I passed so many people and that felt so good. And then I crossed the finish line and I needed a moment because I went full out. And that was tough. The whole thing was super tough. All right, moving on to ba-ba-da-ba-doom-boom-wee-wee. We have full scale, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1933. Number one, identical to an original in proportion and size. The example is full scale drawing. So the drawing that you are doing is exactly the same proportion and size of the thing that you are drawing. Well, let's see. Is there another example similar? No, this is a good one. Stephen Wright had a great joke. I've probably said it before. He said, he doesn't say full scale, but it's the same idea. I have a map of the world that's full size. Last year I folded it. I just love the idea of a full size map, a full scale drawing of the entire planet. Okay, so yeah, drawn something. Oh, we're gonna match the size and the shape. That's a full-scale drawing. I would imagine a full-scale sculpture would be the same kind of thing, but in physical 3D reality. Number 2A, involving full use of available resources, as in a full-scale biography. Is a full-scale biography similar to a full-fledged biography? A full-scale biography is you're using all of the possible resources. You're interviewing every single possible person you can. You have a whole bunch of money from the publisher, so you're going full-scale, And it's probably full-fledged because you're just putting everything in there. The other example is full-scale war. I don't want to ever have there be a full-scale war in my life. I assume that there are some places, you know, even right now, where there are full-scale wars happening because in that specific area, they are using all of their resources to be fighting the other people. But I really want people to understand that these are really pointless, and I don't understand why they can't. I get it. They have a very different situation than I do. They have a very different culture and years and decades and generations of probably living in this ridiculous, terrible situation. But we need to get to a point where we need to help each other and support each other and not be like, that's my land. I don't like you. For why? Why? No more full-scale wars, please. 2B, the synonyms are total and complete. We have seen those words a lot in this episode and the last episode. The example there is a full-scale musical renaissance, and that is from current biog, which I still think probably means biology. I mean, I guess it could be biography. That would make more sense with the abbreviation. Current biography could possibly be, is more likely a current biography is talking about a full-scale musical renaissance. Current biology seems kind of weird for them to be talking about a musical renaissance, I think. But who knows? Next is full service, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1934. This is providing comprehensive service of a particular kind, as in a full service bank. Let's see, there's also, you know, full service car repair places. They're just gonna, they can do anything to your car. They can fix it up, maybe they can gas it up. Maybe they can even check the headlights. That's pretty helpful. But they can't figure out how to turn off that engine light. Oh, you engine light. Full size is next. Two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1832. Number one, having the usual or normal size of its kind. Whatever that thing is. This thing is full size of that thing. I am a full-size human. Everybody, if you're full size for yourself, whatever you are full size. You know, for Halloween, if there's a house giving out full-size candy bars, that is the house that you gotta go to, because most people are giving away fun size. They're not fun. Who would call those fun sizes? Oh, it's so fun. It's so tiny. I'm getting less sugar. No, I want all of the sugar. I want full size. You know what? Give me king size. That's what we want. King, maybe that's not even the right word. We should come up with a new one. I want extra size. Number two, having the dimensions 54 by 75 inches. And this is used of a bed. It says compared to king size, queen size, and twin size. Those are all types of beds. So very specifically, I don't know if this is a worldwide standard. If your country has a different standard for your beds, I would like to know what they are. But at least here in America, we have these mainly four types of beds. There's also California King, which is even bigger. But the full-size bed is 54 by 75 inches, which equates to 1.4 meters by 1.9 meters, which is also, what would that be? I have to do math, and I don't want to do that. What would that be? 14 decimeters and 19 decimeters? Am I doing my math right? Or would it be 140, or is it 140 centimeters? I don't remember. But anyway, it's, 54 by 75 inches. So easy. Let's see. Full size. I guess, yeah, twin size is a little bit skinnier. Not sure about the length, but I think it's a little bit skinnier than full size. All right. Is that it? That it? That's it? That's it for full size. Moving on to... Now we got full stop. Two words. Noun from 1596. It's chiefly British, and the synonym is the 5A definition for the word period, like the end of a sentence, period, full stop. No more words are coming after that period. We're stopping fully. Babadoop-boop-boop. Full term, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1907. Retained in the uterus for the normal period of gestation before birth, as in a full-term newborn. That baby, that newborn, was in the uterus for the typical normal amount of time for a, we're talking about humans here, for a human gestation before it was born, which I think is 40 weeks, which is around 9 months. Not exactly, but it's around there. And all different animals are going to have a different length of time for what their full term would be. But of course, sometimes babies are born before full term. Maybe they're born right after the second trimester, so around 6-7 months. That's early. That they are preemies, and they are not full term. What would the term there be? I can't think of it at the moment, but that's okay. I was king size term, extra term. I came out after full term, maybe like week and a half, 2 weeks late or something. Yeah, I needed more gestation time. It didn't help. All right, let's go on to the last word. It's full tilt. I was trying to go a little full tilt with my sound effect, but I think I was also going, a bit full out, a bit full on. So, full tilt is an adverb from 1679. It means at high speed, as in the example, running full tilt. I don't get a lot of opportunities to run full tilt. I don't know if my body can handle it anymore, but every once in a while, if I got a straightaway like a cheetah, I work my way up to it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go full tilt and run super duper fast. I don't know what my top speed is. I would really love to know what my top speed is at full tilt. Okay, this is from the third form of the word tilt. And that's it. I mean, I know of tilt when it comes to pinballs, but this is not about pinballs. This is just going fast. Come on, let's go full tilt. All right, it is now time for the word of the episode. I would love to know what your word of the episode would be. If there is ever a website dedicated to this, somebody can keep track of all of my word of the episodes, because I'm not really, kind of, not really. All right, today we had fuller, fullerene, fuller's earth, fuller's teasel, full-fashioned, full-fledged, full-house, full-length, full-marks, full-moon, full-mouthed, full-Nelson, fullness, full-on, full-out, full-scale, full-service, full-size, full-stop, full-term, and full-tilt. Woo! All right, let's see. I mean, we had a whole range of topics here, but every single one of them was all about the most thing, pretty much. I think that I shall pick full moon as the word of the episode. I really love the full moon. Don't you really love the full moon? The full moon is shining brightly. Look at it. It's a full moon. That's good. Full moon. It's a very bright night when the full moon is out. The new moon is 2 weeks later. And that's when the sun is not shining on the moon at all, because they're basically on the same side of the earth. And so it's so dark. A new moon is a very, very dark night. All right. That was great. That was wonderful. I will tell you now about a new movie that we watched. We just saw this in the theater last night. I think it is called Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. I don't fully understand what the title means. It might have been said in the movie, but I was not aware of it. Didn't hear it. This movie is a tough watch. It is really, really beautiful. The acting is amazing, especially by the lead girl. Basically, if I understand correctly, this was maybe a biography or a fictionalized real story written by somebody about their childhood in Southern Africa, Zimbabwe/Rhodesia. I think Zimbabwe is the current name. They were trying to call it Rhodesia before. I don't know all the specifics about that. It takes place in 1980. And so if you know anything about the politics and the situation in that part of the world at that time, which I do not, then you will understand where this movie is coming from. It was adapted by a woman who wrote and directed. She wrote the screenplay, directed it, and also plays the mother in it. And she is fantastic. And so she's really like the second lead. There are tensions between basically the white people who have come, I think, from Britain and the people who have been living there for, forever, the black Africans. And, there things get heated. And, basically it's like, the white people are not good because this is what they've been doing all over the world for a long time. I hope we're doing a whole lot less of it now, but come on. There are multiple situations of the white people going in and really just fucking shit up. And I don't like it at all. All right. Things are still not great down there. So that's a movie that you should watch. Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. All right. A lot of it was hard to understand, mostly because I have bad ears. And there were no captions in the movie theater, and so I couldn't understand a lot of it. But I got the gist. I got the gist. All right. That's going to be it for this episode. We are coming to a close. What was the word? I wanted to say one of the words here. I get full marks for this episode. I can't remember. This podcast is, it's got a fullness to it. All right. This is the end. Thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.